LID Conference Committee. We have a forum present. Last evening, the House submitted a proposal to the Senate, and the Senate, we recessed briefly to review, and then a call of the House was in order, so we recessed for the evening. Is the Senate prepared to talk through the issues?
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Chair, we'll jump around just a little bit. Handed out the real the Senate wants to call us off or not quite in order. But no, let me start with that first one, that first bullet point, date issue on the privacy language. I don't remember what page that's on. The issue there that the department pointed out to us is that it might goof up their ability to subscribe to SAVE, which is another verification of president's database that they have to be able to subscribe to come into compliance. There's a couple of different things they could do. One is just slightly or amend the effective date. I think your proposal was day following enactment. Or you could keep that language and just make an exception for make an allowance for the agency's ability to enter into a subscription with SAVE. Either way. If we were to amend the effective date, we were thinking January 1st, 2017, it might be just a little easier to come up with specific language keep the date following enactment to satisfy whatever concern brought that idea forward, but allow the exception for that one narrow purpose in it. Move on. We jump down to the seniors' ID. There's just a little technical issue there. Let's see how we get it right. There's Oski.
Mr. Chair, on page R15, on the Senate side, section 9, paragraph B, Senate would propose to add at the end of 8.30 before the period, this is one word anyway, which expires on the birthday of the applicant in the 8th year following date of issuance. And we would, on 8.24, restore the skip-in for, and delete the new 8th.
That was my error. I put that 8th in there in the proposal that I gave yesterday morning, not really noticing that that was just the wrong place to be. Go ahead.
Mr. Chair, the effect of that change would be that ID cards for applicants under age 65 would expire after 4 years. And then for applicants 65 or older, if they get the acceptable for federal purposes card, it would expire in 8 years. And if they get the not acceptable for federal purposes card, it would be a lifetime ID card.
Okay, so that's just a technical change. The next bullet, the fifth bullet, that's just another small item. It's actually what was House. So you propose to keep the House language on R6, line 5, 10, you bring over the phrase on 511 after, somehow or another we would include the notion that we're talking about the information and documentation required is true and correct. So that we're both having people to assess the truthfulness of allowed in their form as well as the document's legal freedom. Jumping up to the third, under the category of
don't ask questions,
include Senator Green's full service center at New Brighton City Hall.
Mr. Chair, you and I have talked about the Mars Tech fee extension. Talked about perhaps a 1 year extension. Fine if the House is agreeable to that.
And we would propose a slightly different approach to what you have presented as the. I'm sorry. You know what, I did not include the mailer issue, so let's add it. We'll talk about that A11 last. So this is language that has to do with providing information to folks about what their options are. Compliance or enhanced identification. But to also include that in their reminder notices. And so we have some fairly simple language that we would propose. Now this passed on. Is there any questions about the language handed out? And finally, we did make some changes to the A11, slightly different approach to that. Now this can clean up. So basically, we would. So basically, we need to probably make some more copies. We need more copies for the public. Okay, so we have one. Kyle, huh? Right, so he'll bring some copies out, but I'll try to explain this clearly. So basically, what we're doing, Mr. Chair, what we're proposing is kind of collapsing the implementation and rulemaking direction to the commissioner into one subdivision. It's a direction in paragraph A, the commissioner shall implement the Real ID Act as provided in this act. We would bring back some of the language that got dropped by your proposal around some of the policies that we'd ask the commissioner to uphold in an adoption or amendment of rules, public safety, compliance with traffic and insurance laws, data privacy, and also to comply with the requirements of the Real ID Act for writing rules for the acceptable or the compliant and the not or the non-compliant. doing rules for the non-compliant. And then rather than doing the opt-in option by the legislature, we would go to an opt-out option by the legislature, suspend the effectiveness of the rules until the legislature would have an opportunity to act, and if the legislature, of course, was silent on the subject of the rules.
Okay.
So we'll respond to questions.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Any questions? Okay. With no questions, Mr. Chair, we appreciate these ideas and this proposal, and we're going to stand in recess for a short amount of time,
right.
Hopefully 15 minutes,
right.
And we'll come back and discuss.
Right.
Thank you. This committee is in recess.
I call this meeting back to order.
All right, we thank the Senate for their offer and the Mr. Chair's comments. Let's go through the items if we could, please. We'll start in a similar order as to how it was initially rolled out. Item number one, labeled the date issue on privacy language exception for save. And could there be... Okay, great. All right, thank you. Yes, that provision is going to be dropped. That's an agreed-upon change. So the date issue on privacy language is withdrawn. The second item, which is the third item on the list, the New Brighton location, and the House is going to pass and not accept that provision. The third item, which is the fourth item on the list, is the technical change to seniors ID 8-year. That is section 8.24 and 8.3. And so we agree on the intent of that language, of that idea. And if it's okay with Mr. Chair, I would, when we get to the end, we'd have the staff work out the appropriate language, acknowledging the intent from both parties.
That would be great.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chair. All right, the fourth item, which is the fifth on the list, which is the include documentation in attestation of true and correct. And that is on page R6, section 5.11. And we accept that word addition. The next item, the fifth item, the Minlars tech fee. And there is Representative Albright. Do you have a comment or question?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the chair, the chairs, and specifically the Chair Dibble, I'm just wondering, sitting in the Ways and Means, I'm just trying to confirm the fiscal tie-in of the issue in terms of the dollar amount that would be going towards the Minlars program. And I'm just wondering, I certainly appreciate the fact that not only is this is generically a policy fee, but it's also financed because of the appropriation for the program. But I'm just wondering in terms of how the language would be structured for that charge on every license, how that would go forward in terms of would we need to make a special appropriation for that? Is there a necessity to have approval from Ways and Means or any other entity within our respective houses or chambers? So just want to make sure that we dot the I's and cross the T's on that matter.
Sure.
So I'm just looking to you to find out what your intent or understanding of how that would work.
Mr. Chair, so Ms. Boyd, maybe you can help us with some of the technicalities. I think the language we would adopt in this report, which would be a date change, I'm not sure if we need to, at this point, do any appropriation.
No.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, the language would just be a date change in four or five places. It's an existing fee that was set to sunset at the end of fiscal year 2016. The language, as it was on the Senate side, originally in a different place, had it to change the date from 2016 to 2019. I believe this proposal would change it to 2017. And that fee, so that fee is already in current law. It would just be a date change in, like I said, four or five places. And then that money already goes into a special account at DVS and is already statutorily appropriated to the commissioner. It's an open appropriation. So there would not need to be an additional appropriation made in this bill.
Mr. Chairs, I'm just wondering if we could have confirmation from DVS if they would be willing to just confirm that and their understanding of that extension. Would that be appropriate?
Would the department like to come forward? Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record.
The chair to that microphone.
Oh, yeah, it doesn't work.
Yeah, this one doesn't work. Thank you.
For the record, my name is Dawn Olson, Director of Dryland Vehicle Services, and yes, that is the department's understanding of how that fee would be utilized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any other further discussion on this point?
Mr. Chair, maybe just as a follow-up on that, is it the understanding that that would be just a one-year extension and it would sunset again?
Representative Albright, that is my understanding, yes.
Mr. Chair?
Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, yes. That's my understanding as well, so then we can return to the subject next year.
Thank you.
You're looking for 3 years, but it's one.
Bless you.
For the next year.
All right, great. So in agreement with the one-year extension. All right, on to the next issue, the mailer issue, which was an add-on on page 8 or 19.
Eight and 9.
Yeah, so R8 and R9, and we agree on this issue. And then the remaining issue is the second one on the sheet, the changes to A11, and we do not accept those changes, those proposals.
Mr. Chair, do you accept with any ideas for changes?
Mr. Chair, not at this time. The House would, it's the House's position to remain with the language submitted last evening on that matter.
All right. So, Mr. Chair, can we recess for a moment?
Absolutely, Mr. Chair. Yes, this committee stands in recess.
All right, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
So, we'll go to alternative to A11.
So our proposal, Mr. Chair, is to greatly simplify that implementation language quite dramatically, and so we come up with this language. So basically you would have a new paragraph A, and kind of collapse some elements of paragraph B in the paragraph A, so there don't be an A and a B. So it would read, the commissioner shall implement and adopt or amend rules as specifically necessary to comply with the DYD Act as provided in this Act. Period. And then leave paragraph C, but that would of course become paragraph B, as is. A couple of points to make. One is, it would appear to be silent on Tier 1 and Tier 2, but in fact it would have the effect of allowing for Tier 1 and Tier
members. On number two, the intent is just to leave, not speak to, and kind of leave law and rule as is, and the authority of the commissioner to, as is. And of course, B, we kind of went to the opt-out versus the opt-in language. And part of our thought there, the reason we changed that from last night is, just want to be sure that in the interim, when you have the application for the extension, that that was approved by the Department of Homeland Security, that an affirmative act of the legislature might create a little caution on their side, might slow down the extension of that extension. So that's what we proposed, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We certainly appreciate the work we have done on not only this provision, but all these provisions. To your last comment about barnacles and having things stand in the way of having the Department of Homeland Security implement an extension, that is not the intent of the House of Representatives in any capacity. And we've been working towards that for many, many months, just as the Senate has. In regard to changes to the amendment, we respectfully not accept them. And we prefer our language submitted from last evening. And if I could elaborate on a couple of the points for that, is that it is our intent as well to have the language stay the same in statute as is, that they have the commissioner to, and I think our language reflects that, Mr. Chair. There's been, throughout this entire process, there's been, in my opinion, and the opinion of the conferees from the House, several concessions, and we've been very accommodating with the Senate's proposals in regard to the technical language, the implementation date, and having the rule authority revert back to the Department of Public Safety. I think asking for the specific language that the House recommended last evening is a very fair compromise, in the sense that the House's position is that Rule ID is meant to be to make our state compliant with our federal Real ID requirements. And I think that the bill that we've submitted reflects that. There's been lots of changes to the document, to the proposal. It currently is in two tracks, so our citizens have the choice of being compliant with the federal ID or not being in compliance. And to the issue of having the department possibly be able to make changes to different categories for the non-compliant license, I revert back to a comment that you wrote in your, I believe it was your initial proposal, Mr. Chair, when you wrote in the middle on page R24, the legislative approval before goes into effect. And that was the genesis of that language being put into statute, because we feel that that is fair, and we want the current laws to be kept the same. And if the department chooses to suggest an alternative, I think it's fair that the legislature acts on that. The changes to that might be that might result of not having language like that, of having driver's license for undocumented people, is a discussion that deserves a full vetting in the House of Representatives. And as you and I have discussed, in our time this past week or so, discussing the specifics of this, I fully understand it has had hearings and floor debate and passage in your body, and the House of Representatives fully respects that. However, that has not been the case in the House of Representatives, and I think an issue as important as this, and as I've shared with you privately and I've shared publicly, it is an important issue, and Minnesota is having that discussion, but I don't feel having Real ID held up for the entire state of Minnesota for 5 million people to hold that in a format where it will prohibit it from moving forward for an issue that the House of Representatives hasn't had the opportunity to discuss, I think that unvetting of that issue is something that the House cannot get behind at this time. So that's why we respectfully deny the offer just made.
I appreciate your perspective. I'll just submit that nothing in our language provides for the second-tier license for undocumented workers in the state. Silent on that subject. And so if anyone's holding it up on that subject, it's the House. And very easily adopt the simple and straight language that upholds the status of the law as it is. We're also not seeking to send any signals of the change the language. Very, very simplified, streamlined compromise that is silent on the subject and allows for the ID Act to go into fines for facilities want to opt for an identification card proof that that's available for federal purposes of those who want to adopt the one that's not available for identification purposes. Very simple, very straightforward, eminently reasonable. Space doesn't drag these issues into this discussion. So I encourage you to take another look at this really simple and straightforward language.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And with that, we stand in recess.